This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Every time she opens your phone and sees pornography, it's almost like you're beating her to death physically. You may not have never laid a hand on her, but if you equal the pain and hurt on her heart, those tears that she's crying at night, when she's quiet, that's when she's yelling the most. Don't learn the hard way. That's a big reason why I wanted to come on here today to tell you guys, I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy.
Are you ready to talk to me? My name is Deborah Falada, and I'm a licensed professional counselor, national speaker, and author. Through my blog, books, and podcast, I have the privilege of helping millions of people get healthy mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and relationally. The purpose of this podcast is to have on-air, authentic, counseling-style sessions where we talk about how people are really doing and give my guests and callers an opportunity to talk to me as a licensed professional counselor. Each of these episodes is meant to show you that we are all on the journey of healing, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and relationally together. None of us are immune to the challenges and struggles of life, but we don't have to walk this path alone. I'm so proud and honored to be having these conversations with men and women who are courageously paving the way for open and honest conversations about their personal journey of healing. So if you're ready, let's talk. Today on the podcast, I'm excited to have Gerard from Georgia joining us. Gerard, it's good to see you again.
Good to see you too, Deborah.
And I say again because I have seen your face on some of our singles seminars this past year.
Yes, ma'am. A couple of them.
Yeah, so yeah. It's good to see a familiar face. So tell me, Gerard, what is it that you have on your mind that you want to talk to me about?
I wanted to know, how do you know that you're fully over a divorce or separation? I guess, you know, when the thoughts come of your old relationship, does that mean you're not over it? When you hear that the other person is in a relationship and it bothers you, that does that mean you're not over it? Or is it because that I'm still single that I'm not over it, and that they're in a relationship? And that's, you know, basically navigating those feelings comparing to healing.
Yeah.
And should I be still feeling those things if I'm healed?
Right. What is healing supposed to feel like when you have let go of a relationship? Well, first and foremost, let me ask you this. Do you feel that you have done everything in your power and the relationship is over?
Oh, yes, I have. It's been a couple years now with no contact. And of course, you know, like you said, I've done all I can do. And in the past, yeah, I've done all I can do, and God miraculously brought us back together. And during that time frame, I didn't learn a lot. And during this time, I can say I have learned. And if some miraculous way that God will restore that somehow, I can say that 2 years removed, it would be way better. And the work I've done, especially reading your books, True Love Dates, and basically everything, all the advice you said in True Love Dates, I did the opposite. So from growing and focusing on my relationship with Christ, it would definitely be better. But yeah, I can say I've done all I can do.
Yeah, because that's an important question to ask. I think when it comes to divorce, the biggest indicator that you are healing is ownership.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times it's easy to get into blame mode,
right,
or victim mode. But at the end of the day, the only thing that you can control is you. The only thing that you can influence and have control over and impact actions and reactions is you. So for you to be able to take ownership, and it sounds like you have been on that journey of realizing I had so much I needed to heal and started that healing process. And it sounds like you're now 2 years removed from the divorce, 2 years no contact, 2 years of just kind of living solo and being on your own journey of healing. But that sometimes you have thoughts of your past marriage or thoughts of your ex-wife, or feelings that come up when you see her living her life, or when you think about things that you kind of have some feelings come up. You know what I would call that? I would call it grief. And I think grief comes in waves, like we say in counseling. Grief comes in waves. And the further you get from a situation, the less intense and frequent the waves will be.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean the waves will ever fully disappear.
You're right.
Because in an ideal world, as children of God, we know that in an ideal world, God's heart is for a husband and wife to reflect his love until they reach eternity.
Yes.
And when you're not aligned with that, there's something to grieve. Right? It's grief. Yeah. It's a loss of a wife. It's the loss of a future you thought you would have. It's the loss of a marriage that you hoped for. So there's a lot of loss on so many levels. And I think part of what you have to give yourself permission is to realize that those feelings are actually grief.
And I guess I kind of put a timeline on it, on grief.
Yeah, what's your timeline? I'm curious if you figured that out.
No, I didn't. It's just, you know, it just recently made the 2 year mark.
Right.
And I'm like, why am I even still taking count of this? Why, you know, and in my head is saying, it's been 2 years, Gerard.
Right.
Why are you still thinking about this? You know,
so some reason you thought that the 2 year mark was like, it's this magic number. Like some people think, okay, the 1 year mark, the 2 year mark, the whatever year mark, it's almost as if after that time period, you're not supposed to have grief anymore.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which is unrealistic.
Yeah.
Is there something in your life you want to change? I sure hope so, because healthy people are always on the trajectory of learning and growing and healing. Maybe it's your negative thinking that's keeping you stuck. Maybe you find your emotions are overwhelming you with fear and hopelessness, shame, anxiety, or depression. Maybe you're struggling in your relationship with God. Maybe you're stuck in a pattern of unhealthy relationships. Maybe it's behaviors that are sabotaging your life, like an addiction or unhealthy habits. It could be your attitude, your mindset, or your perspective on life that needs to shift. Whatever it is, in order for change to happen, it has to start from the inside out. Taking the best of psychology and pairing it with God's word, my book Reset is all about getting healthy from the inside out. It's a book of 31 mindset shifts and sustainable practices that will guide you into the process of healing by giving you practical steps that will transform your life with change that lasts. No matter how many times you failed before, I want to help you do it differently this time. So grab a copy of Reset today and get ready to reset your life from the inside out. Check out DeborahFilleta.com/reset or grab your copy anywhere books are sold.
And I guess it makes it harder too, Deborah, because you think about, oh, they probably not thought about me, you know, the day after we separated. And here I am reminiscing over past, and they're out there free, you know, and I'm just wasting my time.
And that's the hard part. Yeah. The hard part is you don't know. You don't know.
Right.
But their level of grief does not determine your level of value and worth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's say they turn around and started partying the next day, which is also unrealistic. But let's mm-hmm. just say if somebody's unhealthy enough to not have any grief and go numb all of their pain and go live their life,
yeah.
that still doesn't determine your value. It doesn't determine the value of your marriage. It doesn't determine the value of what you have to offer.
Right.
So your mm-hmm. value isn't connected to how they grieve or don't grieve. Their level of grief is more of a reflection of their level of health rather than your value.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, they might turn around and live their best life. Yeah. I say best life in quotes yeah. because we all know divorce isn't easy. There's yeah. pain, there's ramifications, there's hurt. I think, you know, when God says, "I hate divorce" in scripture, people interpret that differently. Some have interpreted as, "I hate the breaking of covenant," is what God says. Others interpret it to mean, "I hate divorce." Whatever way you want to interpret it, the point is God knows the pain that it causes mm-hmm. his children, and he doesn't like it. He yeah. doesn't want to inflict that kind of pain on his kids.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. so why wouldn't he hate that experience? And it's because he knows the grief that comes with it, the pain, the sorrow, the hurt, the trauma. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're walking yeah. through that right now. And I think when you feel the grief, it's an invitation to acknowledge the deficit and allow God to fill it up.
Yeah, you're right. And you brought up the point, you know, maybe she is partying the next day, but which I got to see it from her perspective, because I can honestly say that I was the cause of everything. You know, just to sum it up, adultery, lustful eye, pornography. I'll just leave it at that. And she really gave it her all. She hung in there, you know, a lot with me, gave me chance after chance. So I have to give her the benefit of the doubt. She was strong, very strong. And I have to give her that. And, you know, for her to go through what she had to go through mentally and to be hurt like that over and over, I just have to thank God also that he saved her from mm-hmm. having to go through any more hurt. And basically, I'm grateful. It does suck. But, you know, I'm glad that if he does bless me with another marriage, I don't have to go through this again. I don't have to hurt anyone like I hurt her.
Yeah. And that is a really honest, caring, healthy perspective. That perspective, Gerard, and those tears show me that you really have healed. And you really have been on a journey of doing the work because of that conviction. And I think God honors that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just hurts worse because it's like, I don't know, can you imagine having the $1 billion lottery ticket and just going and throw it in the trash on right. your own?
You're right.
Yeah. And you're like, what did I just do? And now, you know, everything that I want and dream of, which is a marriage and a family, it's hard because I had all that. I had it right there in the palm of my hand and I just threw it away. And, you know, these sexual sins and a little anger issues and my other issues, it just feels like I let it take everything. But it hasn't yet because I'm still here. And so, that's why, you know, a lot of people reference Job, but Deborah, the hard thing for me about Job is he didn't cause his own demise.
Right.
Job didn't cause it. So I relate more to like Paul maybe. And so it's easier to see, okay, God redeemed Job, you know, because Job didn't do anything to deserve it. It was easy for God to give it back.
You're right. You know, I think of Paul, mm-hmm. who hated Christians, killed Christians, slaughtered Christians, spit at God, and he caused his own trouble. Like he was really doing, choosing dysfunction. But God stopped him in his tracks and turned his life around. And I feel like that's what he's doing for you. So you're 2 years removed from this divorce. I'm just curious, have you tried to reach out to your ex-wife in the past since you have been healing consistently and steadily? Have you tried to reach out to her from a different place? Like, here's where I'm at today.
No, because I don't want it to seem like that I'm trying to show off or do something to soften her heart. And
well, let me pause you there. I guess my question is, why?
Well, only 2 months after we fully stopped talking and everything, Deborah, I found out that she was in a relationship with a guy with two other kids. And so that made me think, well, was this relationship going on when we were talking?
Mm-hmm.
And that hurt, but I had to switch it over and say, well, I deserve it. I did way worse. At least she waited till we fully stopped talking. And so I couldn't come in between that or try to do anything with that. You know, I only saw pictures and stuff from other family members telling me about it.
Yeah. Is she in a relationship today?
As far as I know, it's been like a year since I found that out. And as far as I know, I haven't heard anything. And that's the thing too. Like, I've thought about it in my mind, you know, Gerard, how are you going to feel when you find out she's engaged or pregnant? What are you going to do then? You're already thinking about her now. Like, it's going to hurt even more when you find that out. But I know, I trust God will be with me when I do find that out.
Yeah.
You know,
he will. You know, it sounds like you have a lot of regrets, and rightly so. It sounds like you've been on a journey of healing, and that's so important. And if I were you, I want to go back to the original question. When you do find out, the day that you do find out, I want you to kind of put yourself in that equation of the day that you find out that she's engaged, she's married, she's pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Will you look back at the past 2 years and be able to say, I feel like I did everything in my power so I can let this go? Or will you feel like, I wish I would have done this, said this, communicated this clearly? And so that's something you need to really think and pray about, especially from a point of healing. Like, you're 2 years removed, you're 2 years into the journey of healing.
Yeah.
From this level of the mountain that you're on right now, if you could fast forward and hear, okay, here's what's going on. She's getting married. Will you look back and say, I wish I would have said this or done this? Because if the answer is yes, then it's time to really think and pray about what healthy, clear communication looks like in this season of your life while you have a chance for it. If the thought of reconciliation is still in your heart, this is the season to think about it. People are always asking me, where do I find a good counselor? At the Deborah Falada Counselors Network, we want to help you navigate through any difficult season you might be facing. We want to help you find relief from the pain and stress of the present and healing from the wounds of the past in order to find freedom, joy, and peace in the life you're living today. Our team of trained, licensed professional counselors will walk by your side and give you the tools you need to face any personal or relational issue you might be up against today. With an integrative approach, we'll guide you with truths from God's Word paired with the best of modern counseling and psychology to help you get unstuck and live freely. There's no better time for healing than today, book a session with one of our counselors at deborahfileta.com/counseling and get started on your journey of healing from the inside out. In my opinion, when you've proactively harmed a marriage, you should proactively try to heal it to the best of your ability. And so that is why I say the important question of, do you feel like you've done everything that was in your power? And that's something to think and pray about from this season of health. And I don't think you're going to get the answer overnight, but something to really think about and pray about, because there is a level to which you get to a point where you can say, I have done everything I possibly can do to become healthy and communicate that health, to communicate my desire to restore a marriage, if that's what you feel like is in your heart, to make it really loud and clear. And if that is met with resistance or sorry, not happening, you had your chance, then you say, I have done everything that I can possibly do. And you move forward.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I have no communication with her at all. No way of getting in contact. And she's 350 miles away. And so I guess I can say, Deborah, if she was to call me right now, I would definitely get back with her. If that's like I had to ask myself that. If she was to call me right now, would you accept the call and talk with her? And the answer is yes. Now, is that because I'm a part of loneliness or the fact that I haven't been in a relationship in those 2 years? Or that it's not looking good for me to get married again? All those things.
Well, it's also probably partly, like you said, you've realized what you had and what was lost. And there's that grief component again. It's like, I had something good.
Yeah. And from a woman's standpoint, you know, when I say that, I hear her saying and going, I've heard that over and over and over. You've changed, you've changed. And that's all I can hear in my mind.
Well, let me ask you this. 2 years into the divorce, how do you know that you have changed?
Well, as far as like personal or like relationship wise?
Personally. You know, you talked about your struggles with sexual struggles and porn cheating.
A big one is I never would have thought I would be able to have a girl that's a friend that I'm attracted to come over late on a Saturday night and watch a movie and not try to do anything. And by the grace of God, 2 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to do that. And from his word and his power and his strength and maturity, you know, I've been able, that's one indicator that I've been able to hold a relationship with a female, because I didn't never think I could do that. And not ruin that. And even like with type of anger issues, you know, even little stuff. Like in traffic, when somebody, you know, holds the horn while they're behind me, you know, I used to get so angry, but now I just let it go.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Those are good indicators. How is your journey right now with lust and porn?
Well, if I can rate it on a scale from 1 to 10.
Yeah. Let's say 10 is the worst, the most trouble you've ever been in.
Yeah. 10 would be from time I got married until the divorce in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And from like 2017 to 2020 is like a 6. And from 2020 to now is like a 3 or a 2.
Good.
So,
because you got divorced and then you tried to reconcile
and I was doing it all for her though, Deborah. It wasn't for God. It wasn't to honor God.
Yeah.
It was just to do it all for that. And really, I do believe God allowed this for him to say, okay, Gerard, it's just me and you now.
Yeah.
I'm the only one you need, you know?
Right.
My grace is sufficient, not your ex-wife, not whatever she can do, not even if I brought the relationship back, that will not satisfy you like I can.
Yeah, and that's the truth. Like, the truth is, so much of sexual sin is not about sex. It's about a disconnect with God, with self, or with others. It's a reflection of broken relationship that needs healing, whether that be with myself, with God, or with others, from my past, from my childhood, from, you know, whatever it is. It's about dealing with hard emotions instead of numbing them with sex and porn. And so it's a incredibly freeing, healing journey. And I'm so grateful to hear that you are continuing on the path of healing. And I think when you get to the place where you feel like you are consistently walking in health, ask God to reveal to you what's next. What does that look like? Is it letting go? Or is it reaching back out? And the problem is that there's no right answer for everybody. Yeah. Everybody's answer is going to look a little differently based on their history, their perspective, the relationship, and what God is telling them to do as well. But I think what you want to make sure is that you can walk away saying, I did everything that I could do to the best of my ability. And that's it. And continuing on this healing journey, no matter what the future holds for you. You know, even when you're talking about watching a movie with a woman late at night and not having sex, that's great. But I think the next step is even just surrounding yourself with boundaries of like, what is good for me? What's not good for me? And what do boundaries look like with women and people of the opposite sex? And what does it look like for me to pursue healing from porn, but also healing mentally, my thought life, my desires, what does healing look like when stress comes up in my life? How do I deal with it in a healthy way? Making sure that you're working with a good counselor.
Right.
Because you can't like do this. You can't do this healing journey by yourself. You need somebody to call you out and help you get to where you want to go. And I appreciate that you're healing for you in this season.
Yeah, definitely the past, I was doing it all for her. Everything, the counseling, all that.
You know, one thing I do want to point out, and it stinks that we have to learn this lesson on your shoulders. But the reminder of the pain and devastation of sexual addiction and porn. I don't think people take it seriously, Gerard. And just hearing from you and seeing your grief, I know there are so many men listening right now who have this struggle in their life and they're not taking it seriously. They're not realizing the devastation. And if you could say something to them, they still have their marriages, they still have their family hanging by a thread, what would you tell them?
Even though you're not physically hitting your wife with a bat, every time she opens your phone and sees pornography, it's almost like you're beating her to death physically. You may not have never laid a hand on her, but if you equal the pain and hurt on her heart, those tears that she's crying at night, when she's quiet, that's when she's yelling the most. Don't learn the hard way. That's a big reason why I wanted to come on here today to tell you guys, I don't want anyone, I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy, the guilt and the regret of having something so close and a blessing, most importantly, that God blessed you with. My wife was my first everything, girlfriend and everything. Through my school years, I got rejected. And God blessed me with such a beautiful and kind-hearted woman. And I threw it away, and I don't want that to happen to you guys. I wouldn't wish this on anyone. And Don't let the devil win for some. Throw your phone away. Get a flip phone. That smartphone is not going to love you and give you what that woman can. And she's not also your wife, but she's your sister in Christ. Look at her as that first. Don't look at her as your wife first. She's your sister in Christ.
I feel your pain. I see it all over you. And I also believe that when we have wells of deep pain, it's also an invitation for deep healing. And that's what I'm seeing in you, Gerard. And hey, listen, I want to invite you to keep meeting with me for one-on-one sessions. We'll talk about after we get off the call of what that could look like. But I want to help you on this journey of healing. I want to help you as you navigate what God is speaking to you, making sure you're living with no regrets, being in tune to the Holy Spirit of what do we do here? Do we close this door? Do we try to reach out? I want to get some more details and data on exactly where you are on your journey of healing and what you need to work on to get to a better place. Yeah. And just kind of help you take next steps. Are you willing to do that?
Yes, ma'am. Definitely. Okay. Sounds great.
Yeah. So let's talk about what that could look like. And I thank you for sharing your heart and your story. And I pray that God uses your words to challenge and motivate others who might be struggling right now to realize healing is worth it. Mm-hmm. Choosing your marriage is worth it. Dealing with the pain of the past is worth it. Getting to the root of your sexual addiction is worth it. And I'm praying healing for you, Gerard, as God leads you into this next phase of life, no matter what. No matter what's in store.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on here.
Appreciate it.
Take care.
You too.
Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast and giving me your time today. If you're enjoying what we're doing here, leave us a 5-star rating and review and help us get the podcast out to others. If you want to go deeper with getting healthy and making healthy relationships, go check out some of my books, True Love Dates, Choosing Marriage, Love in Every Season, Are You Really Okay, Married Sex, or my newest book, Reset. You can find more information about all of those, as well as hundreds of articles and courses, as well as the Debra Falada Counselors Network, over at my blog, truelovedates.com, or my website, DebraFaleda.com. I love connecting with you online. So find me on Facebook or Instagram at Debra Falada. Send me a DM and tell me your story. If you have a question on your mind or a guest suggestion, reach out to me at truelovedates.com/talktome and let me know what's on your mind. I'm Debra Falada, and it was so great being with you today. I can't wait to talk with you again next week. I'll see you then.